Morning, everyone. I'm Rao Mentredi. I'm from Alabama A&M University. after this fine growth chamber and controlled environment studies, this my research presentation will take you guys out into the open field research. I have a team here. We have Dr. Ranatunga Thilini, Dr. Bhatt. Those two are chemists. They do all the chemistry work on this project. I'm an agronomist. I simply know how to grow them out there in the field. Then we have Brian Thomas. He's also a chemist. And then we have Kiona Hunter. She's a grad student doing an MS on this project. Okay. This is a new medicinal herb on the horizon. This is it's turmeric. Here in the U.S. they call turmeric. But coming from India, we call it turmeric, the scientific name being curcuma longa. It's a rhizomatous perennial herb, belongs to the same family as ginger, gingiberaceae. The origin is said to be Indian subcontinent, about 130, 135 known species of turmeric. And India is the largest producer. It captured about, I think it was 70% of the world market also. And most of the production is restricted to about four key states in that country. Production is about 375,000 metric tons annually, and exports about 75,000 metric tons. In contrast, if you see global production stats, other countries, 11% is about the maximum for Pakistan, whereas other countries are single digits production-wise. India is the one that produces the maximum. Some of the countries that import from India, mainly U.S., it imports by 8%, but much of the turmeric here comes from other countries like Madagascar, like Thailand, Indonesia, and those countries, some of them. Right now, it's considered as number one natural and health food in the U.S. It's about $46 million market. And as a supplement, it's somewhere, I think it's about 10th down the list, captured about $22 million market value. Has several uses. This medicinal plant has been used for more than 4,000 years in Indian school of medicine called Ayurveda, and continues to be used in several products. The main product by economy is, of course, the rhizomes. The fresh rhizomes, dry rhizomes, ground, oil, oleoresins, all are used. Much of it goes into making Indian curry powders. And there are a lot of applications, industrial applications, ranging from skin lotions and creams to soaps, and now, of course, a lot of medicines, you know, tablets, capsules, and so on. There are also beverages coming up now in this country. Okay. So, it's mainly used, medicinal uses range from anywhere. Main use is inflammation, anti-inflammatory properties of this crop, used for ulcers, hepatitis, jaundice, so on. In our country, when as we grew up as kids, when we had a gash or anything on our body, I remember we just dab turmeric powder on that. After 3 days, the wound is healed. So it has got good antimicrobial and other properties. Now they're looking at its anti-cancer, and recently there was a paper out there that it can alleviate Alzheimer's disease. The paper, the research says that the active ingredients of turmeric, the bioactive compounds, the curcuminoids of turmeric, actually repair synaptic joints in a nervous system. In those people who are affected by Alzheimer's disease. Okay. The active constituents, of course, are a group of curcuminoids. Curcumin is what we know about this crop. But there are two other curcuminates. It has several sesquiterpenes, also very high in potassium and several other vitamins. As far as cultivation requirements are concerned, it's a tropical plant, so it likes the high temperatures, 20 to 30 degrees. It has a wide range of environments it can grow, and also can grow from 100 sea level to about 1200 meters above sea level. It's a root crop, so it likes well-drained soils, particularly sandy clay loam, sandy loam soils with which are high in organic matter. So this project objectives are actually to determine variation between and within species of fresh and dry rhizome yield, determine interspecific variation in curcuminates, particularly bis-desmethoxy, desmethoxy curcumin and curcumin itself, and also look at the elemental content. So we have, for this particular study, which was started in 2016, we have looked at our 15 different lines that belong to three species, Curcuma longa, Curcuma amara, actually four, Curcuma zedaria, and Curcuma aeruginosa. We raised them in the greenhouse, and then we transplanted five to eight-week-old seedlings out into the field. Prepare the field. This is all organic production system. We use a lot of poultry manure, pelleted poultry manure, and also vermicompost. We use cover crops. We plant winter cover crops, and then in summertime we plow the land, make the seed beds, put these organic amendments, make the seed beds, and then feed these crops every 3 weeks with fish emulsion, the organic fertilizer. This year we added about 52 lines from Vietnam, so our collection has gone up to like 65 different curcumins. I have yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and black, several types. Okay, we grow them in the field, harvest them after about 9 to 12 months, and then we do the chemical analysis, particularly looking at those three curcuminoids, okay, using HPLC, and also look at the elemental system using the ICP spectroscopy. Okay. Yields of these lines, you have a pointer? No point. Okay, yields range fresh. We looked at both fresh and dry yields. Now, fresh yield, we looked at fresh yield mainly because there's a huge fresh turmeric market. A lot of growers out there who sell fresh turmeric. And price ranges anywhere from $6 to about $25 a pound fresh. So that's a market. But the dry market is for the industry applications. A lot of companies are looking for organically produced turmeric here in this country. They're tired of quality issues when they import turmeric from outside. You see here there's a lot of variation in this. Fresh turmeric, there, we did not find any statistical significance among these genotypes. Dry is significantly different. The Zedaria, next slides I'll show you, it doesn't have any curcumin at all, but they gave very high yields, significantly higher than Curcuma longa. It may be because we have only three varieties, all three gave more than 2 tons per hectare yield compared to Curcuma longa, which ranged anywhere from 4 tons to about 1 ton. So that brought its average yield down. Curcuma amata also was high up there, gave about 3 tons. Okay. So looked at the best desmethoxy, also a lot of variation among the genotypes. And it ranged anywhere from 0.19 to about 5-6 milligrams per gram. And CL8, CL9, CL10, and CA had very high levels. Desmethoxy also similar range. Again, CL8, 9, and 10 had high. Zadoria had no curcumin at all. Okay, but in Vietnam, they use it. That's main medicinal turmeric used in Vietnam. So you're not looking at GCMS analysis to see what's in those lines. Curcumin levels also varied similarly, and the curcumin content was about 28, 26, 27, like that, whereas desmethoxy and besmethoxy were about in 5 grams was about the maximum, 5 milligrams. As far as elemental content is concerned, there were very high content of iron, okay. And these all range from about 1.19 to about maybe 0.5, 0.6 milligrams per gram. Among these, iron, aluminium, and also copper stood out. Okay. Potassium, consistently very high in all the lines, but it was not so high in the curcuma zadoria, was higher in curcuma longa lines. Okay. So we looked at the combination-wise, we found that one variety, CL10, seems to have both high yield as well as high curcumin content. There was rhizomyl range from 1.1 to 4. Zadoria, of course, with only three Zadoria lines, they were about, average yield was about 2.8 metric tons. Okay. For best methoxy, again, Zatoria did not have any, but in CL, curcuma longer lines ranged anywhere from 0.2 to 8.9 to 3.4 being the average. Okay. DMC also similar ranges, 0.64 to 4.7. Average was about 2.9. Okay. Elemental content, again, it's iron, aluminium were high. And potassium was very high. Even in literature also it showed that very high. So in conclusion, we feel that curcumin can be grown pretty good in our environments down there. This year we're trying in south where we have loamy soils with higher temperatures. Thank you. Hydroponic, we haven't done, but South Carolina has done a lot of very fine hydroponic studies with a range of nutrients. They published a few papers out there. It was a PhD student work, and I'm not set up for hydroponic. We might look at some high tunnel work next year or 2018, but we are doing mostly field studies. Thank you.